Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia. It's episode number 344 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag has a truly perfect NIL story from a college hoops blue blood. At 12:30, NFL Week 7 gets going tonight with an injury-riddled affair. And in mere minutes, we talk Texas Longhorns and start getting you ready for the college football weekend. I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today is a guy who can talk hoops, sports, music, and a whole lot more. They call him Zay on the morning show. It is Isaiah Collier. Zay, thank you as always. How you doing today?
Pretty good, Trey. Thank you kindly.
You got it. That was weird. And sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings. Were you just watching some Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman or something? Where did that voice come from?
Yo, man, that is from the late, great John Witherspoon. He used to say that all the time on Wayne's Bros and different shows that he was on.
I did get somebody's grandmother vibe, though, when you said that. Thank you kindly.
John Witherspoon was sitting in this very studio right here just a couple of years ago, about
is that
a year
right?
before his death. Yeah, he was performing at Cap City Comedy Club. And this was back when I was able to get more comedians in studio. And so he joined BK and me and shared some really hilarious memories. He was very upfront about how he was pretty much continuing to work to try and continue making that money to help his family to sustain themselves going forward. And sure enough, he worked right up to the day he died. One of the underrated comedians out there from the last 20 to 30 years.
Oh, he's an all-timer for me for the last 20 years or so. I think he's one of the best out there that people may not know about. Yeah, rest in peace. Has it been, 2 years, 3 years?
I want to say 2 years.
Oh, that sucked, man. I hated when I heard that. Great to see Isaiah today, as always. By the way, before we jump into this football stuff and the spec set piece, let's talk a little basketball. Tonight, Coach Beard and Longhorn Weekly. It's an off week for football. So Coach Beard called up the Longhorn Weekly folks and the Pluckers folks and said, hey, instead of an off week, why don't I come out? We'll talk some basketball because I don't know if y'all know, but we're preseason five,
mm-hmm.
top five. We're picked to finish second in the Big 12, but we'll have something to say about that when we face Kansas. So how about Pluckers, the campus location, live at 7 o'clock tonight. Coach Beard will be there. If you are a student, if you know some students, get on out there and soak up some of that Chris Beard energy because he's got plenty of it.
Man, Chris Beard is a man of the people and definitely a man of the students. I don't know if there's ever been a coach on the 40 acres from one of the major programs that has embraced his social standing and this desire for people to see him and hear him talk and interact with him than Chris Beard. And he hasn't even coached a game yet.
Yeah. So here's a little detail we haven't talked about on the show. People probably know about this, but you know, he does these fireside chat.
Love him.
Internet deals.
Hilarious.
He was doing it at Texas Tech and he did it at Texas. Did you catch that detail where he brought on the very first student he met at UT onto one of those shows?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's some detail right there. But it was very, very cool. So, you know, obviously, yeah, excited about the season. So tonight should be fun out at Pluckers. If you've never been to a Pluckers, it's a great opportunity. But also, if you want to, you know, get to know your basketball coach, get on out there to the campus location.
And how about the admission that he made at Big 12 Media Days over the last couple of days with regards to him asking everybody within the program to give something important up for the 21-22 season?
Really?
And he was asked what he's giving up. Apparently, he's giving up beer.
Whoa.
And Chris Beard is a big beer guy. So he is shunning beer this entire basketball season, and everybody else is giving something up. I assume that as we continue ramping up to the actual season itself, when we get some of the preseason interviews with various players, guys will be asked what they give up. But that's interesting that Chris Beard is giving up booze, or at least the beer form of booze, for an entire season.
Now, he's not giving up all beer, right? Because I could advise a 102 calorie per ounce beauty called Coors Light that would really keep things light for him.
No Coors Light.
No Coors Light?
Maybe that extends to root beer as well. I'm assuming it's alcoholic beer.
Let's not get silly. I mean, come on.
But my question based on that.
So he does like basketball Lent for his whole organization?
Basketball Lent. Basketball season Lent. But my question for you and for Zay and for the people out there, let's say that the three of us had to give up something for the next, I mean, the basketball season is 4 to 5 months long. For 4 to 5 months,
yeah.
What would you be willing to give up? You can text it, 337-3776. What is that answer for you?
Oh, mine's easy. I would give up torturing squirrels. I wouldn't do that for 4 to 5 months.
Torturing squirrels.
That's correct. That's what I give up every year for Lent. I've been consistent with it. I have not tortured a squirrel any Lent for my whole life.
Look, there are certain qualities that you possess that lend itself to a serial killer. I don't think you actually are, so you've done a good job of suppressing your desire to just murder random people, but your cruelty to animals and also your obsession with feet are two things that always makes me wonder.
That was always my snarky idea for Lent when I first heard about it. I'm like, well, just give up something you never do. Like, just give up a drink you never drink. I'll give up gin.
That's why I said
I don't drink gin, so it's fine.
That's why I said something important to you.
I know, exactly. No. Once I realized what this was, it has to be something important.
Well, he thinks, Zay, do you have that answer?
No, not at all. I like to keep things tight, fellas. It's tough for me to give up anything that I do regularly. So
about fried food?
See, that'd be tough for your boy.
That's a big one.
That'd be tough for me.
That's
all
a big
one. Like, I'm doing a pretty good job of keeping it under control, but every once in a while, I do like my cheating. I do like my cheating with some fried food.
Cheat days are important. Understanding moderation for the things that aren't great for you and still getting to enjoy those things to time to time is what makes life so enjoyable.
So that'd be a big sacrifice for me. If I had to, I could do no alcohol easier than I could do no fried food.
Yeah, I think a lot of times it comes down to either a general type of food, a specific food, or like an alcoholic beverage. Those are usually the easiest things. Like, I could go the cannabis route. I ain't giving up cannabis for a basketball season. Quite the opposite.
Somebody,
we're going to be very honest about
somebody texted in the horn. You know what? How dare you?
If it's that important to you, you do what you have to.
That's true. I hope you get something out of that sacrifice, if that's what you do. Also on the basketball front, let's give our man Isaiah a little love because he has got a basketball show coming up. We always mention that he loves basketball. He can talk basketball. He'll talk basketball with us and has done that before, and you hear it on B&E. But starting November 4th is the plan. 8 o'clock is the plan. The Right Call with Isaiah Collier.
Really?
Talking some basketball on the station. Basically, Chris Beard's going to be your opening act. Are you comfortable with that?
Oh, yeah. We're always down to have him on. Come on now.
Oh, that's cool.
He's basically the reason why I got the gig, so hell.
There you go.
Is he?
I mean, people care about basketball now. So
oh, I see.
It makes it a
The energy around that guy is going to be important, and I'm hoping that he can come through. I mean, look, yesterday on this show, Ari Temkin from the Cowboys Radio Network comes on, but he's also on Big 12 Radio. He follows college basketball. He's a Kansas guy. That's where he and his wife met. Follows it closely. He was just at Media Days, and I ask about Texas, just ask a general question. And in his answer, he says Chris Beard is going to win a national title at Texas. I didn't ask him that. He just, at first he wanted to go with probably or maybe, and then he just took it out and said, no, he will win a national title here. That's how he's thought of in the basketball world.
It's hard not to believe that to some degree. If you've watched Chris Beard operate over the last 5+ years now, he is a guy who understands how to construct rosters, even given a limited amount of time with guys in the program. He was one of the first guys to really capitalize on the transfer market in college basketball, bringing really good players in from other programs, sometimes from blue bloods, but oftentimes from those lower levels, guys who belonged on a larger stage. Well, Chris Beard gives those guys a larger stage, and he does a phenomenal job of building team rapport as well. I just got done watching Ted Lasso, the 2-season series on Apple TV. And Lasso's deal, because he doesn't really know anything about soccer, is he just understands how to bring people together to form a team, to get moving in the same direction. Chris Beard has that about him. He is charismatic as hell. It's why the fireside chats and his desire to get people out to Pluckers tonight for Longhorn Weekly, it makes complete sense. He is winning a lot of people over already based on his successes at Texas Tech and just how he has embraced this job since setting foot in Austin as the new men's basketball coach here at Texas. And just like he found a lot of success at Texas Tech, making it all the way to that championship game, reaching, what, at least one other Elite Eight in the process, he is going to do great things here as well. And just to watch him reconstruct a roster that looked like, if Shaka Smart had stayed here, let's say, a team that would not just struggle to get into the NCAA tournament, a team that may struggle to be above 500 in conference play. Chris Beard now has them primed to truly challenge Kansas for a Big 12 basketball championship. And if you're challenging Kansas for a conference title, you will be in the hunt for a national championship too.
Yep. Well, we know what this conference can do in basketball. It is a nasty good conference.
Especially this year. Three top 10 teams right now.
No doubt. And that
I haven't been excited to watch Texas men's basketball in a long time. I am excited this year.
Yeah, and that other team, in quotes, that third team, the defending national champions.
Right.
So it is a salty, salty conference. Tonight, Pluckers, the campus location for Longhorn Weekly. November 9th is the first game for Texas basketball. All right, let's get into some football here. The dude with the weird spray is showing me where I can put the ball. Let's do the set piece here.
The Specs set piece is brought to you by Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. When it's time to kick off the Austin FC match, say big at Specs, official partner of Austin FC.
The dude with the weird spray is telling you where you can put your balls? What in the world are you talking about,
it's
man?
It's one of the weirdest things about soccer to me, that they've come up with this spray stuff that the officials carry with them. They carry a can.
Oh.
They take it out when there's the time for a goal kick, penalty kick, or whatever, and they spray a line, and it's like, no, this is where you can't go. But they do it with like some kind of foam soapy stuff that just dissipates. It's gone in 2 minutes.
Oh, is that right? You don't even have to rub your foot over it or anything. It just disappears on its own.
Yeah, just kind of, it's gone. Hmm. So our spec set piece today, a little bit of a different vibe around Texas football right now than Texas basketball, because there's things that need to be figured out. They're 4-3. They're 2-2 in conference play. And, you know, Trey, we're sitting here on the off week trying to assess everything. And I think we can all agree that in the Arkansas game, nothing went right. They never really had that one figured out at all. But I think there is some solace to be taken in the fact that what you're looking for, you have seen it. It is about finish. When you say your team can't finish, they got to finish fourth quarters. Well, they're giving you something. And so we all know what the Oklahoma game started like, the tackling in the early part of that game. DeMarvion Overshown had a play that looked like The Rock in WWE on Spencer Rattler. And they knocked the quarterback out of the game, not physically, but, you know, got the coach to take him out of the game. That all is positive. The beginning of the Oklahoma State game had some positive to it. It's just that they haven't been able to find that finish line. So, not to try to blow too much smoke. We try to be realistic about it. Texas fans are as realistic a fan base as I've ever been around. But there's at least that, right? You have seen it. You just have to figure out a way to sustain it.
Yeah, and I am not sure that this coaching staff has figured out how to sustain its success so far, because the three most talented teams that they've gone up against this year, they're 0-3 against right now. And perhaps they caught Arkansas at the wrong time. Arkansas has been brought back down to earth just a little bit. That Arkansas team ran all over them. They played a physical enough brand of defense that it exploited a shoddy offensive line, and that formula has also worked for Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Now, the discouraging thing in the last two teams that I just listed is that Texas started out hot. It seemed like they knew what they wanted to do, but unfortunately, throughout the course of the game, specifically going in at halftime and coming out of that locker room in the second half, it seems like these other two teams, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, did a much better job of adjusting and ultimately winning the games as a result, whereas Texas really stagnated on both sides of the ball. And perhaps it does start on offense with entirely too many three and outs in the game against the Cowboys, led to a defense that was worn down. I've just seen this defense out-physicaled for a lot of the year against the one-score competition that they've gone up against. There were the exceptions against Louisiana, Rice, Texas Tech, but even throwing TCU in there.
the Texas defense, it just seems like either the conditioning and the strength or some combination of the two is letting them down in second halves and fourth quarters of ball games, leading to these collapses.
Well, I think, and you nailed it yesterday, where, again, let's take the Arkansas game and throw it out, because they were, was it 33-7 when Thompson came in the game?
Right.
It's just, it was a lost cause by that point. But those other three games, I'm going to put three other games, a win and two losses. You brought this up yesterday, but I think it's worth bringing up again that we've talked about this whole one-score game thing. None of those were one-score games the whole way. They weren't 7-0, 7-all, 14-7. That's not what we saw. We saw 28-7 in the Cotton Bowl, and you had 18-point leads after that. We saw an opportunity for either a 15- or 19-point lead against TCU. It ends up as a one-score game, and we're watching you drive the field to go up whatever it was going to be. Three scores of some kind, either 17 or 24, 17 or 21 is what it would have been there, against Oklahoma State. One play changes it, and you realize, oh my God, we're going right to the end. So those three games.
And by the way, that was compounded by the fact that Texas got the football back and had to punt pretty quickly. Oklahoma State gets the ball back before halftime, drives down the field, and kicks a field goal. So not only is it a one-score game at that point, but Oklahoma State is then within a touchdown. They're 4 points going into the halftime. That pick six was huge in that game.
Somebody text, Chad, the Texas fan base is the most unrealistic fan base in the country, Chad. What are you talking about? I completely disagree. I disagree.
There are unrealistic fans in this base. I certainly don't want to represent it as that, but Texas also has a ton of level-headed people in this program who are able to see the forest through the trees. Are they like most other fan bases in that you have people who have a hard time not being prisoners in the moment? Absolutely. It's human nature to do that. And of course, that exists with Texas fans. There are a lot of savvy Texas football fans who also understand the sport and can see the bigger picture, who I think that provides a perspective that you were referencing there.
And on one hand, you want to, I always go to blocking and tackling with teams as a first step. Are you blocking and tackling well? You could answer it simply and just say, no, Texas can't block, Texas can't tackle. But again, we've seen those moments. This is where, it, like the old saying in the work world is, how do you get a job without experience? How do you get experience without a job? To me, what Texas is dealing with right now, Trey, is fundamentals and coaching. How can you coach if you don't have fundamentals? And how can you have fundamentals if you don't have good coaching?
Right.
That's what they're battling right now. So all of it has to step up. All those offensive linemen have to realize they're not blocking well, but the coaches have to be a part of that. All those defensive players have to realize they are throwing jokes out there at times in terms of missed tackles, but they've got to be willing to fix it, and they've got to be willing to deal. And then the coaches have to be willing to step up, admit what's wrong, and fix it. So it's complex, but it is is as simple as that. When you're getting into these fourth quarters, you're not doing the basic things. And when you can't do if you can't efficiently block in a fourth quarter and you can't efficiently tackle in a fourth quarter, I don't have any ideas for you. Like, I'm out at that point. If you're doing both of those things badly.
Right. And maybe you can do some trickery in terms of the offensive play calling, but ultimately guys have to be able to execute at all 11 positions. Or if it's a run play, technically it's probably closer to 7 or 8 positions, and you're just not seeing that on the offensive line. Defensively, it did seem a little bit better versus Oklahoma State. I mean, after all, that pick six isn't on the defense. That's on the offense right there.
Sure.
So they held their end up to a certain point, but, you know, you are almost over-rotating defensive linemen and players on that side of the ball to try and keep them fresh for a reason. We've seen that throughout the course of the first six games of the Longhorns, but unfortunately, it didn't seem to matter a whole lot versus Oklahoma State in the fourth quarter. And it's like one little mistake for that side of the ball, it really begins to snowball quickly. And that's what we saw with Jaylen Warren and how he was able to go off in the fourth quarter versus this defense on some pretty basic run schemes that they've been running all game. So it's not like you didn't have an idea of what was coming. You could just no longer stop it at that point. Some of it's on the defensive line, some of it's on the linebackers and them not maintaining the responsibilities or not cleaning plays up. And then of course you have the dumpster fire that is a safety position for Texas that is doing very little good in run defense or pass defense right now.
Yeah, a lot of questions coming in. By the way, if you have anything you want to throw in, the Specs text line is 337-3776. Somebody thought I was doing Aggie math. They said it would have been 20 24-3, that's 21 points. Right, but I was also considering a field goal. That would have been 20-3, and that gets you the three-score lead there, too. That point in that point is so easily the critical moment of that game. Anybody can see that. There are eight-year-olds watching that game that realize how big that was, Trey, because driving – I couldn't think of a more impactful – there's no such thing in football as a more impactful turnover moment than what we saw. One team is in the red zone area about to score to get a three-score lead, and the other team gets a pick six, a long pick six that shrinks it back down to one touchdown. That's you can't do much more than that in, as far as an impact play.
An 80-plus yard pick six or scoop and score, you're right. It doesn't get much bigger than that in terms of swinging momentum, and that's absolutely what happened right there. Yep. Texas had plenty of time to recover, though, and they did not, and I'm really disappointed in the offense's effort in the second halves of these last couple of games. They seem to clam up, and I don't know if that's a result of Steve Sarkisian freezing up just a bit and not sure what to do in given moments, but we're seeing a lack of execution at times, we're seeing a lack of inventive play calling, and we're also seeing a really crappy offensive line that isn't getting close to that adequate mark that we're hoping for to see Steve Sarkisian be able to optimize guys like Bijan Robinson, Xavier Worthy, and some of the other few pieces at the skill positions for this Texas offense.
By the way, Trey, at some point today we'll get to the numbers. I looked up your Mac Brown numbers that you asked for.
Okay.
Mac in one-score games from 01 to 05. I also looked at his last 5 years.
Ooh.
09 to 13.
There's a big difference there, right?
In one score games. We'll find out. And then I also looked up, to be fair, Sark in his last five, four full seasons, and then this partial season at Texas.
Okay.
And give you that number as well as we go along. Texas football definitely on the board. The NFL is as well. They are going to try to field an NFL football game tonight in Cleveland, but they're going to have a tough time doing it. We'll set you up for that, plus some of the big games and big lines this week in the NFL's Week 7. Paul Wadlington, Scipio Tex himself of Inside Texas and On3.com, and the EGAT podcast. He's coming up at 105 as normal. No fantasy help for you today. So if you're a fantasy owner and you got somebody playing tonight, you need to tweet JD Lewis. We'll tell you how to do that. JD's going to join us tomorrow at 12:30. So more on that coming up as well. Just getting started on a Thursday. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Wow. Going way back on this one. Going way back. Isaiah Collier in the house. That means the music could go a lot of different ways. Would this qualify? Is a cool, spooky white chick?
She got a little spookiness to her.
Yeah.
Just enough.
She's one of my favorites. Is this the first hit? Is this when everybody got introduced?
Yeah, this is the first hit.
Miss Christina Aguilera.
Ah.
And Genie in a Bottle.
Yeah, you're either Team Britney or Team Christina. I was Team Christina.
Yeah, I was on this side.
She had a little bit more soul.
If you made me pick, I was picking this side. Yeah. I mean, just for content's sake, I like this one, right? This is your first single? This is your hello? I mean, Britney did have Hit Me Baby One More Time in the early going, right? Neither one of them were singing about flowers and, you know.
I knew Britney had baggage. Even as a young kid.
Even back then.
Oh, I was like, yo, something ain't right here.
You're like, her dad probably needs to take control of her life as an adult and not let her make decisions.
Exactly. So Christina starts us off today. Isaiah Collier producing on a Thursday. We got Paul Wadlington, Scipio Tex himself coming up at 1. What did he think of Texas and Oklahoma State? And we'll get his thoughts on where this team is right now. We got NFL Week 7 coming tonight. Trey, I do not know if they're going to be able to get this thing started. You need 11 on each side. Right?
Oh, man.
So we told you yesterday that Baker Mayfield had that issue with the labrum, and they took a look at the MRI, I think, Tuesday night, and decided by yesterday's show, yeah, he's out. So Case Keenum's the quarterback of the Browns. We also knew that the two running backs that everybody's familiar with the Browns, they're both out, correct? So Chubb, was it? No, let me see, get this right. It was Hunt. Chubb was already out. Now Hunt is out.
Both with calf strains too, I believe.
So then, so something called D'Ernest Johnson.
Let's give the man a little bit of respect here.
Carries.
Someone.
I've never heard of this person.
D'Ernest Johnson. He's been with the Browns for at least a couple of years. He's the guy who took over Duke Johnson's role a few years ago before Cleveland acquired Kareem Hunt. So he was Nick Chubb's backup going back a few years, and I only know that because of fantasy. I had him on my team at one point.
By the way, I'm a big fan of the D apostrophe added to names, but not Ernest. I mean, there's just some names it doesn't go with, right? There's just some people that shouldn't wear hats. These are just facts of life. There are certain people, they put the hat on and you go, dude, you should never wear a hat.
Who shouldn't wear a hat around here?
Oh, I don't know if there's anybody around here like that.
Okay.
Some people would say that's me because my big old head. I've had people tell me, like, Chad, you look weird in hats. You should not wear hats around anybody.
That's a little bit like the if you don't know who the creepy uncle is in your family, then the creepy uncle is probably
it's you.
Yeah, right. It actually is you that shouldn't be wearing hats around
here. Right, so it's probably me in the
office.
Same
thing with mustaches with people. There are certain people who should and shouldn't be wearing mustaches.
I should never wear one.
Well, I don't know about you.
I don't think I should.
We should maybe consider you growing that out when you do the mohawk.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that would work out. But where was I going with this? Where are we going?
D'Ernest Johnson.
D'Ernest Johnson. DeBrickus
Shaw Ferguson.
Yes. So then the Cleveland side of it is about the offensive side. Then Denver, I'm reading, Trey, also has their issues. Teddy Bridgewater has a foot injury. Questionable.
Oh, God, Drew Locke may be coming into the game tonight. That's not good.
Left tackle Garrett Bowles, the kid that played at Utah, he's got a knee injury and is questionable. But here's the best Denver-y story I could give you. I read a report today that even though Teddy Bridgewater's questionable, they haven't given Locke any extra reps. Oh, that's smart.
They hate that dude. Why is he still on the roster? Just cut the guy if you hate him that much.
Who the heck's getting those reps? Brett Rippon? Tommy Maddox? Who's getting the reps then?
That's a great question, man. I was ready to pound Denver on my my weekly pick against the spread deal that I'm doing that Bob Ballou organizes. But after hearing all the guys who are potentially out for Denver now, I don't know what to do with that game other than not watch it.
It is so bizarre. Yeah, it's a weird game. I'll have it on. I'll have it on in the background.
No,
maybe.
I'm not even going to have it on in the background. I may even play Denver's defense tonight, too, just because of what Cleveland's rolling out there. But I have no desire to watch that game.
That's weird. The other thing to mention for this NFL week, we know the Cowboys are off. If you're a Buffalo fan, they're off, too, if you're following that story. So, best game is Cincinnati-Baltimore, and it ain't even close. But what we brought up yesterday, Trey, I think is going to be the subplot of this weekend, especially when we get to our degenerates tomorrow, Brandon Lang at 1, Sammy P at 2. You brought this up yesterday. There are three games that are, actually, I'd argue there's four of them, where it's a really good team against a really bad team. But in three of those games, the favored team is favored by, I'm seeing today, 12.5 or more. In the NFL, that's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
That's craziness. The three games are the Rams hosting Detroit, the Stafford-Goff game, if you will.
Yep.
Tampa hosting Chicago. They're the 12.5. And Arizona hosting Houston, as you pointed out yesterday, is 18? 18.5, something like that?
That's got to be one of the highest spreads in a while.
That's a Kansas City spread from a couple years ago.
Right.
There was a couple of those. The other one I would argue that should be that is Green Bay, Washington. They're like 7.5 right now, 8.
People still think that Washington defense is better than they are. Green Bay is going to kill them.
I agree. And that's at home, too. All four of those teams are at home, should handle their business against bad football teams.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing to watch this week. Best game easily Cincinnati, Baltimore. And like we pointed out yesterday, there are games that should have been good, but they aren't now. Indy, San Francisco, and New Orleans, Seattle are the Sunday and Monday night games. They should have been good, but they're not.
You mentioned Tennessee, Kansas City also, right?
And I forgot that one. You're right. Tennessee, Kansas City. That's another game, even though it's a 500 team in Kansas City. That's the other game to pay attention to. Sadly, those are both in the 12 window.
So out of the four heavy favorites that you listed, Green Bay, Washington, L.A., Detroit, L.A. Rams, Detroit, Arizona, Houston, and was the other one Tampa Bay, Chicago?
Yep.
Which of those four games do you think is the greatest likelihood to see the underdog pull off the outright upset?
It's either, I'll go with one of two defenses. It's either Chicago or Washington.
Yeah, because, well, see, I don't think Washington's defense is that good. I'd probably go Bears also just because Tampa's defense is so bad in the back end.
Right, just all the injuries they keep getting, keep building up, I would say it might be them. If you made me pick one, I'd say it's Chicago. They have the chance. The when the Bucs are on and clicking and everybody's healthy, they can still be a little clunky and stodgy and blue-collar. But when they're banged up like this, you know, anybody can throw on them.
You going to give any merit to the idea that Jared Goff, Mimbo Goff, is going to be so fired up going back to his old home that he's going to come out with some sort of inspired performance to get the Lions their first win of the season?
My gut says no. The only part of it that would lean you towards that would be that the Lions have had a couple of, oh my God, can you believe they lost like that, losses. They've been close in a few games.
They are a hard-fought Ofer.
They are. That's NFL Week 7 coming. Let's hope that Cleveland and Denver can get that going. If you have fantasy players to play tonight, you're losing your fantasy league. Just saying. You probably should just stop.
Yeah, because you're mostly relying on backups at this point. So yeah, you've got the scrubs of the trash heap.
All right, so real quick before the break, you want these numbers on Mac Brown, or you want to do it in the crap bag?
No, let's hear it here.
Okay. You told me to look up Mac Brown in one-score games. We pointed out yesterday that Texas has been in 29 of them since 2017, and they're 14-15. We pointed out that Sark is 16-14 as a head coach in one-score games. Here's Mac. From 01 to 05, he was in 15 of those games. You want to guess the record? 15 one-score games. 01 to 05, it obviously ended with the two Rose Bowl wins and a natty.
I'm going to go 10-5.
12-3.
Wow.
Yep.
That was good.
12-3. Now, I also looked at the last 5 years, which would be his worst five. 09 to 2013, Trey, he was...
Well, 09 was a good year, though.
Uh-huh.
09 yeah, was a
right?
good year.
No, he wouldn't play for the Natty that year. He had 18 of those games in that five-year period. You want to guess that record?
Let's go 8-10.
11-7.
Oh, he was still good in those games, too.
Still pretty good. 11-7. So here's your comparison. In Mac's last 5 years, he was involved in 11 fewer of those kind of games than Texas has been involved in since 2017. Back to this Tom Herman DNA, for some reason, attracts one-score games. And then, Longhorn fans, we hate to report, this may be the greatest idea they've ever come up with. But they replaced Tom Herman with a guy that seems to attract one-score games for some reason. I can't explain it. I'm just reporting the numbers.
Steve Sarkisian has to figure out how to be better in three areas as a head coach, just based on the simple statistic that is his one-loss record in these situations. On the road, against ranked competition, and in single-score games. Mm-hmm. He has to be better going forward. I think he's capable of it, but the proof is not in the pudding right now, because in the last 2 weeks, he's lost to two ranked opponents. The week before that, he did win on the road, but it was a close game against a really bad TCU team.
On the road, 13-23, against ranked teams 11-22, one-score games, 16-14. That's the overall. And at Texas, he's 1-2 to start in one-score games and in the ranked games. He's 1-2 in both categories.
Yeah, so the ratio for one-score games is akin to what it looks like in those other categories.
It's
the
about
one win for every two losses.
In the last five seasons, going back to his last two seasons at Washington, last two at Washington, the two seasons at USC, and this year, 11-10 is the overall for Sark in one-score games. This one surprised me, Trey. His first year at USC, he was in seven of those games and went 4-3, but he was in seven of them right away. I thought that was kind of interesting. So just kind of keeping up with those stats to look at, but that's what they've got to figure out. We always talk about self-scouting, self-awareness in this off week, something Coach Sark and his staff may want to take a good look at. A, the team you've just inherited gets in a lot of one-score games. And guess what, Coach? You are involved in a lot of one-score games. What is happening? What is happening as those games are developing? What gets you in one-score games? And like we just talked about, you just had three of them that should not have been one-score games or might not have been, and they all turned into those. You were 1-2 in those games. What do you do about making yourself either 3-0 or not getting in those games. All right, Paul Wadlington, Scipio Tex, coming up at 105. We'll talk to him about those Longhorns at 4-3. Up next, though, in the crap bag, just a perfect story of NIL to get you college basketball fans ready for the season. That's next on the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
Oh. Fire up the synthesizers, kids. Ride like the wind? Yeah? Man, Isaiah Collier producing today. You never know where it's going to go. Trey, you got this one?
No. Who is this?
All right. I knew the name of the song. The question is, can I? I feel like I should know this.
Yeah, the voice sounds very familiar. I think I'm going to be upset when he tells us.
It's like,
this is smooth. This person has a smooth voice.
Who is this? It's not. Yeah, the only thing in my head right now is Michael McDonald, but it's not him. Who is it?
Christopher Cross.
That's who it is.
That's right. Yeah. Good call.
Christopher Cross.
You got him.
Yeah, you got me. You got me. You know who thinks this song is dangerous? Nobody. Nobody. This is just a groovy, synthesized, what is this, like early 80s? Like early?
Yo, that's going on the wedding list for sure. That's a hit.
Right, exactly. No,
oh, that's a hit.
Who doesn't love that song, right?
Yo, that's a hit.
You're going to get the whole room in a good mood with that.
Yeah, it had to be 80s. I don't know exactly.
It feels like that, right? Right in that transition, that 80, 81, 82, synthesizer fired up. Oh, man, yeah, that's a happy tune right there. That's good stuff. Christopher Cross, he had a couple of monster hits back in the day. Isaiah Collier producing for us today. We appreciate that. And as I mentioned earlier, he's got the basketball show, the new show coming up November 4th, The Right Call. It's going to be on Thursdays. Basketball season rolls in with Coach Beard. And also remember, tonight it is Longhorn Weekly with Coach Beard out at the campus location of Pluckers. So definitely check that out. If you want to know what Coach Beard's all about, what are people talking about? What's all this energy around Coach Beard? Go find out. Go to Pluckers, have the great food, and check it out. They are preseason number 5 in the AP. People that know basketball think this is going to be a pretty damn good team. You may want to go check it out.
Preseason top 5, and I think they only have one guy on the Big 12 first team.
Oh, is that right?
To media, yeah.
Okay.
Forgetting who that is. It may be Marcus Carr.
He'll take that challenge.
Marcus Carr is the one guy. I mean, but they are a stacked roster. I mean, their second team could compete for top 5 standing in this conference this year.
Should be a fun year of basketball. Speaking of basketball, let's go right to that world for the crap bag today. This one's perfect.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. There is not an element of this story that I don't love. I love every ingredient of this story. Here we go. In the new NIL world, you had to know it was coming, and now it's here. One of the blue bloods in college basketball has a guy who's going to pull up to practice in a Porsche. That's what I'm talking about. Well done, and I should have known it was going to be this guy. I should have known it was going to be Cal and the crew in blue at Kentucky. That's right. Kentucky has an incoming freshman. It's got to be a freshman, right? Because he doesn't keep him around long enough to let him be sophomores. Has to be a freshman. Kid's out of Arizona. I'll tell you his name at the end because it's the perfect cherry on the sundae. This kid is so good that he has gone to a Porsche dealership in Louisville, and he has already cut himself an NIL deal. So, just like back in the day when SMU football players were driving up in their cars, and Texas football players were driving up in their cars, and Aggie football players were driving up in their cars, and people whispered, now you don't have to whisper. Now you can say it out loud. The kid has a deal at Porsche. Apparently the Porsche he's going to drive around, Trey, is about an $80,000 car.
That's it?
That's it. Yeah. That's like a light Porsche, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't even, Porsche people probably don't even consider that a real Porsche.
Just driving a Boxster around.
No problem.
Not driving a Carrera around.
No, it's some kind of SUV. You can even haul stuff if you need to.
Oh, he's going with the Porsche Cayenne.
I think he's going with like some kind of souped up Cayenne, yes. So if he needs to go to Home Depot to get some Tuba 6s, he's fine.
If I were him, I probably would have checked out the Tesla dealership first. Save on gas money, too.
Oh, man. I love it. I love that story.
Can I guess the last name? Or I guess the whole name?
If you'd like to, sure.
Michael Lamborghini.
That'd be awesome. No, this is one where I'm going to... At first, I wanted to get on him a little bit, but there is a certain flair to it. The last name is Washington. There's not a lot you can do to screw that up, right? Washington's a pretty cool last name. Trey, his name is listed as Ty-Ty.
Ty-Ty Washington?
T-Y-T-Y.
Mm.
Ty-Ty Washington. Very unique.
That's a good name.
The rhythm of it is pretty interesting to me. The more I think about it, I'm like, you know what? I kind of see what Mr. and Ms. Washington were doing there.
Well, and he immediately becomes a first name only guy. You have guaranteed that giving the name Ty-Ty out to your kid.
You're just going to call it, you think they'll just call him Ty-Ty.
Nobody's going to call him Ty-Ty Washington or even Washington for that matter. You shorten it to Ty-Ty.
It's Ty-Ty could have came to Texas.
Oh, was he considering Texas?
He was.
Oh, yeah. You know about this guy?
Yeah. He was considering UT.
What type of player is he?
Point guard. Solid.
Yeah, I'm seeing a 6'3 guard.
Yeah. Yeah, he's tough.
What about Ty-Ty as a name? You like that?
Yeah, that's a dope name.
Yeah?
Mm. Yeah.
Now, if you know him, do you think you still call him Ty-Ty or do his friends just call him Ty?
Yeah, you got to call him Ty.
Just one, right?
Yeah. His lady probably calls him Ty-Ty.
See, I wonder, so is that one where the parents gave him both of them, but his friends are going to take one off? Is that what it is? I've never heard of a name like that. It's fascinating to me.
So there are exceptions, the people just in his life who are more comfortable using full first names than going with just the Ty. Like, I'm probably somebody that would call him Ty-Ty. Fairly often. Like, everybody around here calls you Zay. You get the treatment that I used to give BK and that I still give Kevin, and that's calling you by your full first name. I say Isaiah a lot.
I do, too.
I'll say Zay, too, yeah. But I probably say Isaiah more than just about anybody else around here, don't I?
See, yeah, you do. Now, what's crazy about that, a lot of people growing up call me Zay Zay.
Really?
Ah, yes.
I like that name.
Yes, they call me Zay Zay, and then... Obviously, just cut it down to Zay.
And it just, yeah. So now, yeah, because I call you, I feel weird calling you Zay because I don't feel like I'm a part of that nickname. I feel like that's somebody else's nickname. It's other people. Would you prefer Zay or do you prefer Isaiah at work?
Well, I'll take both.
Doesn't matter?
It's okay. Fine, yeah.
Oh, you go Isaiah more often than
I not? Usually say Isaiah more than I say Zay because I'm not a nickname guy. If I'm not a part of the nickname, I feel like I'm trying too hard. If I meet somebody and they're like, oh, yeah, that's whatever, Moochie. Right? But I know that his name is something else. Calling him Moochie feels weird to me. But then I guess if I find out everybody does it, then I've got to, got to do it. I'm not going to call him Carl just because I want to if everybody calls him Moochie.
Well, then you need to figure out a good nickname for Zay that you can go with, your own nickname for him.
Like
maybe you go Eyes or maybe you go Aya.
I'm not...
Maybe you just stick with Zay.
I'll admit too, I'm not much of a nickname giver. I've worked with people like that. Chip Brown's that guy. I worked with Chip for a couple years. Chip gave everybody a nickname.
Interesting.
He's the only person to give me a nickname I kind of liked. He was one that called me Snake Killer the first time.
Ah.
When I killed a couple rattlesnakes.
I don't know if that's a sustainable nickname.
I know. But he always had, he could meet somebody and within 2 days they had a nickname from him.
Right.
I've never been able to do that. That's never been that guy. I've never been that guy.
See, because my first name has always been unique enough, I've never gone by either my last name, or I guess the name that I go by is technically a nickname, but a different nickname that my friends have dubbed me.
Yeah, see, you've got the complexity already built in.
Trey Day stuck for a little bit at the end of my high school career. But then it just went back to Trey whenever I left my high school friends and met a new group of people in college.
People called you Trey Day?
Trey Day. It was right around the time that Dr. Dre was getting big.
I got you. Okay. That's so pretty.
Trey Day, Arrivederce, Trey Day. And then sometimes it was Trey McGay when they were really messing with me.
Sound like he was about to freestyle there, didn't it?
Yo, I was about to put a beat on for him.
I was feeling something was about to happen there. I thought he was about to give me a story about going to geometry class or something. I was waiting for it. All right, coming up, it is...
Now, that's a Will Smith song.
That is a Will Smith song, yes. Going to geometry class, I go, I think is what it was called. Coming up, it is Scipio Tex. It's Paul Wadlington himself from Inside Texas on 3.com and the EGAT podcast. What did he think of Texas and Oklahoma State, another one where the Longhorns looked like they were doing just fine, and it did not end up that way. Paul's thoughts on the team coming up. We'll rearrange some things next hour. Where are we at in society with Isaiah? We'll do that at 1:30 because Trey's got a special guest coming in at 1:45, Miss Sarah Wolf herself, coming in to tell you all about Emancipate, the event that's coming up this weekend. We'll tell you all about it. Stay with us on the Horn.